I fall into these like kind of pitiful states of thinking like, you know, that it's just not enough, like it's never going to be enough, like it's not doing anything, right? Like that whole thing, like this, the futility. It's like, oh, we're making all this art, and it often feels like you're just kind of decorating bullet holes, you know? And that's something I struggle with a lot. Like, who's this for? Like, is this for, like, is this helping us more than it's helping the people who we're trying to help, right? And I feel like in my clearest moments, I hope that it is in some way that, you know, like creating visual culture around resistance is the cultural work that we, you know, that we also need. But I also feel like we need a lot more than that. You know, it's like it's not an either or, it's an and thing. It's like a and we need to help ourselves get through this time so that we can be here. We could want to be here to do it.
Super duper excited to be talking to you for this podcast. This is the Embodied Astrology podcast, and I have been teaching with them for about 2 years, and I wanted to do a series featuring artists representative of all of the mutable signs. And I was super just tickled at the thought of thinking of you talking specifically about yourself as an artist through the lens of your Piscean nature, because I think meeting you as a fellow water sign, I felt very held and seen in how you show up and how you feel up, not in the creepy way, but you feel up all your feelings. So do you want to just introduce yourself to the embodied astrology audience? And well, I could say a little tinge about why I'm obsessed with you. You're such a prolific artist, and you're so young and you're so cute. And you are a tremendous visual artist in all of these realms. And I think you're an incredible poet and writer too. And you're just like a real one on so many levels. Like, I think that you speak up, you stand up, you show up. Yeah, and you feel big and you're hilarious. And you're my friend. So crystal clarity, how would you sort of speak to who you are?
I don't know if I can give myself a better introduction than you gave me, but damn, I'm a Brooklyn-born Boricua artist, born and raised in New York, city. Come from two beautiful, loving, generous Boricua parents. Yeah, who are both Leos. I have this romantic vision of my origin story being like just two lions, like getting it on the beach, which is exactly how it's conceived. And giving birth to a fish. And also my mother went into labor on the beach. When she started having contractions when she begged my father to take her to the beach 9 months pregnant, and he was like, "It's March, no, you're too pregnant." And he took her anyway, and then she went into labor and he carried her off the beach. And I really feel like they should have just let me be born in the ocean and I would have been the mermaid I was intended to be in this world. But alas, they had me born on land, and so I have feet when I should have fins. But yeah, that's my origin story. I don't know, I was always doing art, always making art, always like writing poetry or making art in my sketchbooks my whole life. So it was just kind of a thing that I had to do to like soften the thorny experience of being in a body, you know, which is something I've always struggled with. I think, and that's the big pipe. I mean, if we want to go straight to like life as a Pisces, it's like waking up every day and being like, oh, I'm in a body again. It's like, and definitely being more comfortable in the dream realm than in this one, you know, at times. Like, I've always struggled with that. The Pisces memes are like accurate, like the sleep memes, like a Pisces will sleep, But we're not like asleep. I think the thing that's missing in that meme is that we're not actually sleeping. We're like super active in another realm. And so we wake up pretty exhausted because we've been doing it so much. And then we have to take another nap. But yeah, I don't know. Did you want me to speak to my actual practice? I'm a
Well, that was
narc.
going to be the next question. It's like, tell us about yourself, your artistic practice, and how your activist practice, how these all line up within, you could talk about within the context of being a Pisces or just how you live your artistic, activist, ritualistic care offerings to the planet.
So yeah, I mean, I'm a Pisces, but I'm a super water Pisces. I'm a Pisces with a Cancer rising. I think my Taurus moon kind of saves me, give me a little more earthiness in there. But I think all that to say that there's a lot of service and nurture in the water signs, like in the signs that are deeply concerned with the like emotional health of all beings and of yourself and of the spiritual health of all beings and of yourself. Like those qualities are as palpable to us as the physical world is to physical people. And so the idea that I think that we feel feelings, like we feel them physically. And it's almost like it's the way that we propel through the world, right? Like I think how that is reflected in my life and in my service life, my life of service through art making is one, it serves me first in like allowing me a space to alchemize, really hard things like grief, devastation, heartbreak, which is, a big part of the human experience, and to alchemize that into something a little bit more sustaining. So, yeah, service to the arts, I think, is a big theme in my life. I spent about 15 years facilitating large-scale mural projects with youth. And doing that for a really long time. And I still do that, but I'm doing less youth specific work and more like I'm more interested in like my practice always touching on intergenerational access. So like if an elder can't come to one of my programs or classes, and I only want to do it if it can't be an elder and a youth in the same space, Yeah. But and so that's how I don't know. I just started thinking about the whole more than like just I'm gonna just serve this one thing. I also do a lot of visual support for mobilizations and movement work, so like banners, props, and things like that, and trainings around those things for the last 10 years. I've been very busy time right now. All that's going on.
I feel like particularly when stuff popped off with Palestine, you have this space that you call like the art dojo, right? Is that what you call it?
Yeah. So Medicine Walls is
Medicine
my
Walls, yeah.
company. And yeah, I just we call the studio the dojo because this is, it's where you get your creative kung fu up and work on. I'm really like a big advocate for like creative mastery and like craft, mastery of craft and skill and like skillful excellence in all things, like in movement work also, sometimes. We surrender to the what I call the aesthetics of urgency in rapid response situations. But for the most part, I think a well-painted thing and a well-constructed thing always makes people look at things a little more seriously, and with more respect, put some respect on our movement,
And I think also from the experience of being at protests, just like, there's so much, like to use your word urgency, there's so much like anxiety, there's so much stress, there's so much fatigue of being in movement work. And for me, like what I appreciate about your practice and the way you hold space in community is you give people a place to metabolize some of this stuff. You also give people a space to, really create something to bring to these spaces of protest and resistance, that whether you're a person that created it or just a person who happens to be in proximity of something that was created, you get to sort of be like, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, flowers exist. Oh, yeah. You know, like, and you make these like big, beautiful flowers or these banners with these statements that, you know, within all of this urgency and sort of unpredictability that typically sort of ushers in these moments. Like, I think, you know, before these things happen, typically the day before, we don't know, oh, wait a minute, there's going to be a protest. You know, it is kind of like death, you know, and literal death is associated with, you know, the resistance stuff that we're doing. But kind of the way that, like when a death happens, automatically you have to kick into action. And there's this grieving, but there's just no sort of space for tenderness and tenderizing. And to me, the work that you do, both in your personal practice and in the spaces you hold for people in their own creative practice or explorations, seems to hold all of those truths and elements in my witnessing from Minneapolis to your Brooklyn, you know, majesty. So yeah, I think what I see you doing that feels very Piscean, it's kind of like, we diving in, boop! You know what I'm saying? It's not a thing where there's this analysis by paralysis, like, oh, what should I do? Could I? It's like, you're like, the space is already here. Bring your tail, bring your ass, bring your fish tail, your mermaid tail. Let's do some things.
That part, like, that's a really excellent point. And when I think about it through the Piscean lens, right, like, that's so accurate to like what I think my space does. And I've been struggling a little bit with not being in my personal practice enough, and like my practice lately being holding space and creating the container. Mm-hmm. And holding the container and like all the materials and the supplies and the upkeep of the space and, you know, figuring out how to pay the rent and all of that and all of those things and what goes on in there and booking and like managing people in and out. But yeah, so I think about, you know, the two fish, when people have described the two fish in Pisces, you know, representing like the polarities of life or the dichotomy of existence, like from like heart and mind or material and ethereal realms, right? So like I definitely feel like the container that I created is this perfect conduit to figure out how to actually make materially what you're feeling. I mean, art does that by itself, but like also there's something to the like the way that the space is set up, and like anything that you can imagine needing is like in this. Mm-hmm. You need to sew something, you need to paint something, you need to draw something, you need to sculpt something, like however it is you want to materialize those feelings or like, you know, alchemize it, that portal is there for that, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think I've been struggling, my bird is being a brat, sorry, just throwing stuff off the table like a cat with wings.
Yeah, it's like she don't, you ain't giving her that 100% attention.
Yeah, I've been struggling with like what you were talking about, like the grief of the moment and like it not feeling like I fall into these like kind of pitiful states of thinking like, you know, that it's just not enough, like it's never going to be enough, like it's not doing anything, right? Like that whole thing, like this, the futility. It's like, oh, we're making all this art, and it often feels like you're just kind of decorating bullet holes, you know? And that's something I struggle with a lot. Like, who's this for? Like, is this for, like, is this helping us more than it's helping the people who we're trying to help, right? And I feel like in my clearest moments, I hope that it is in some way, that, you know, like creating visual culture around resistance is the cultural work that we, you know, that we also need. But I also feel like we need a lot more than that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, it's not an either or, it's an and thing. It's like and we need to help ourselves get through this time so that we can be here. We could want to be here. Mm-hmm. To do it. Right?
Well, and I think that's part of what feels necessary as a part of the movement work, right? Is that it's so much oppression that you're having to even navigate to address oppression, right? That to address oppression, you have to navigate that you are living in the system of oppression, that you participate in it in certain ways. Like, you know, today I was thinking about Congo and how a lot of why what's happening there is because of cell phone culture and smartphones and whatnot, that we are always complicit even when we resist, and that there are ways that I know the money I earn is taxed and participating in the genocide in Palestine, that there seems to be so many ways that without our consent, we are participating in these sorts of things. And to be an artist is to be extremely attuned to those truths, right? To be like, oh, even if I want, I mean, and I think you and I both talk about artists as like, okay, I think there's ways that what an artist is has been really defined by white patriarchal culture that is to be disconnected from what's happening in the streets, what's happening in community and whatnot. So to disrupt that as an artist is to say like, yeah, like I'm not doing this for, you know, for shits and giggles to shuck and jive. I'm doing this because I actually feel what's happening and I want to be a part of the change. And there's ways that in addition to creating space and holding space for this making and creating, we're also creating blueprints, hopefully, and opportunities to what is the world we are dreaming, to get back to the Pisces theme, right? I think so much of your work really does give a sense of not only the world we're trying to end and destroy and disrupt, but also the world that we dream, that we deserve, that we live into. And it's interesting to hear your Taurus moon, because I do feel like there's also an aspect of grounding and comfort. Like, I think the work you do is comforting in that way. So I feel you. And, you know, before we started recording, we spoke to this particular futility, as well as we're also right now in a new moon in Pisces, where there really is this depth of complete disillusion and hence interconnectedness to the all and the everything. And it is like, oh my goodness, you know, this is a lot. And just even thinking about what is happening now and how connected it is to all this, it, like, it's not only a lot right now, it's been a lot forever, you know. So,
and Pisces is a forever sign, right? I mean, all of them are, but like, but like the astrological bird's eye view, like the, like, we're supposed to hold like this larger view of things on a spiritual level. And that's, I would say, like, my whole life is very much that, like, very much the zoom out. I would say it's a challenge for a lot of us to like function in the, like, the day-to-day small mundane things, like opening up mail ever. Like, it's very difficult because like it's such a mundane thing, and we're often like just like in our heads, like zooming out so far that, like, you know, the world is a dot, you know. And that, I think that part for me is the thing that I, you know, it can both be, you know, in the negative, it can make you detached and aloof and like disconnected. But in its more medicinal aspects, I would say it's like, it allows you to remove yourself from outcomes, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I know I'm not gonna survive this work, this choice, this path, this life with a hard attachment to outcomes. Mm-hmm. And like, that is like, I mean, it's true for the micro and the macro, like, you know, relationships, interpersonal stuff, but like this particular moment and activism in general, and even art making, you know, you don't make a piece of art and like rely on everybody loving it. You know, you'd be upset your whole life. You know what I mean? You'd be disappointed because everything, you know, everybody's going to experience it differently. But with the activism part, like, what helps me get through is like the one, like, understanding if you're in, what your reasons are. Like, are you trying to be a career activist? Is this a vocational thing for you? Is this a job? And then when your job
is this ends, a game? Do you think this
Is
is a game?
what I mean? Like, or is this like a life path that you've chosen? You understand that you are in the lifelong work of collective liberation, and that that work is lifelong, and that you may never see the results in your lifetime, and you let that go. And whether or not you win or lose, you do what you're here to do because it's the spiritual work that you have committed to do for yourself and to the benefit of anyone who's closest to you who can receive that love. And if you're lucky, that that love will trickle out and you'll actually be able to see its effects in the world in some way. And that's like, but that's extra cake on it. You know what I mean? I don't think you rely on that. You just be delighted if you see that shit. Just be delighted and be grateful, you
You see
know?
a little trickle. But yeah, but I was going to say along those lines, that also feels very, you know, to kind of bring it back to how you're holding it within this Piscean conversation, is that Piscean energy is ancestral and it's primordial at the same time. You know, it's before anything's began and it's in the future. And what exactly? So being able to also, that feels like a resistance amongst our culture of transaction, and you do a thing and it gets back. You know, you get it back. And so much of what this work is, it's less about results and more about legacy. You know, like we are a part of a legacy, we're a part of lineages, we are a part of a collective journey that we're taking the baton and holding our hearth for.
This is an important distinction in how I measure like what I'm doing in my life is, am I doing this work transactionally? Is this thing that I'm doing transactional or transformational? Right. And that is, there's a huge difference between transactional and transformational work. And not to say that either one is inherently bad or good. Sometimes we need to make transactions and you need to like, but just like, it's a good place where I decide like what at what level I'm giving my energy. If I'm doing a job and the job is like it's not deep transformational work, like, you know, I know I can allocate, you know, my talents in a certain way. You know what I mean? And if the work that I'm doing is not about, you know, it's not about this paycheck or this exchange or something, that the exchange is greater, it's deeper, it's transformational. And that work gets to access different qualities of my service, you know?
It feels like an important distinction to make within the context of Pisces energy too, because it seems as though it goes very all the way in, all the way out, all the way deep, all the way beyond. And I would imagine that did it take you a moment to get to that place of being like, oh, okay, not everything gets all of me. You know,
Yeah, that's
like,
a life-saving like distinction for me. Like, because I mean, I was treating everything like transformational work. Like, everything is just, no, sometimes you just need to do a thing and pay a bill, right? And it doesn't need to get all of your heart and soul and energy and like, you know, learn how to where to give that. Then there's like, you know, the con I can contradict that and say how you do anything is how you do everything, right? And there's that principle I also live by, which is doesn't mean to say that your transactional work has to lack in integrity, you know, or in care or in like beauty. It just means that, you know, you have a greater understanding of like what you're going into and for what.
Well, I think also that that speaks to kind of the Pisces Virgo polarity as well, right? Where, you know, you have this expansive sense of service and care on both of those polarities, right? And I think how do you earth yourself and create containers for yourself also to be cared for, you know, even as you do your service. And I do think it's a thing. I mean, I think it's an important thing for a lot of artists to understand, whether, you know, you have Pisces placements or whatever, right? Is that we live in a world that sees the value of artists but won't value artists, you know? And a lot of it is around self-preservation, that if we, and I think a lot of artists, young artists, up and coming artists, and some artists do this until they're broke and nameless in the grave, you know, which to me, I don't think necessarily that means failure or success, honestly. Like, I think at the end of the day, we know all that we've touched, all that we've seen, you know, I guess all you touch, you change, right? To, you know, quote our girl Octavia Butler. And there is a sense of living in a material world, living in an earthly embodiment. These are skills that, in order for us to live a nourished life, a grounded life, in addition to living artistic and activist life, I think with artistry and activism, those tend to be things that can drain you, you know, and because the passion is so strong there, you know, it almost feels justified. You know, like, well, I gotta, you know, make this art. It's like I'm obsessed and I gotta do this work, you know, this activism transformational work. It's, I'm obsessed and it needs to be done. So, anywho, like, I appreciate you sort of naming a, you know, these two kind of questions you ask around, you know, is this a moment of transaction or is this a moment of transformation? Still holding on to the integrity that either way you're gonna put that juicy love, sweetness on it. And there's an aspect of discernment on how you navigated it. I feel like your work feels like a homage and inclusion of ancestors in my sort of witnessing of your work. Like, I feel the ancestors with you and your embodiment. I feel the ancestors, even like looking at you right now in the artwork behind you. I'm like, what ancestor did you channel? And I feel like you do that a lot in your work. Did you channel and like brought them into the physical realm through your, you know, gift? And I just wonder, like, as an artist, like, I've been in your house, I've stayed in your house. You have all these books, all of these references that I'm just like, oh my gosh, like your sort of expansive reference, you know, like is quite artistically scholarly, not in a cheesy way, but in a very like, you know, you ain't new to this, you true to this, you about this life. And I just wonder when you think of the people whose legacy you're in, whether it's other artists, whether it's mentors or what have you, like who are the people who you look to as kind of guidance as far as what you're in alignment with?
First of all, thank you for seeing me. I feel seen. Let me see. I mean, I know it's a little bit obvious, right? It's like the obvious answer is to say somebody like Frida Kahlo was a big influence on me in my younger years when I did, when I became aware of her and her work, and I saw the film first, and then I like had to buy every book on her. And her sketchbooks, I feel like, really resonate with me deeply, deeply, deeply. Like, there's a way that that woman felt things.
Cancer.
I didn't realize she was a Cancer. Yes, she's a Cancer. Of course, she's a Cancer. But she must have a bunch of like Aries in her. But yeah, I mean, there's just like a the way that I experienced her. Metabolize her feelings through her work. Similarly, like on the poet Tip Pulia de Burgos, Puerto Rican poet.
Yes.
When I read her poetry, I was like, "Oh my God, I think I wrote this." You know, like I feel like another. Is this woman me? Like in another life? You know what I mean? Like
Oh gosh, I love that.
not just her relationship with and like with people, with ideas, concepts, situations, heartbreak, all those things, but her relationship to the way that she feel, like the depth of feeling and the way her choice of wording, like is something that I felt like, oh, I feel like we would have been a squad, you know, me and Julia and like Frida. I'm also like a big admirer of Kath Kollwitz, a German printmaker. Her house was bombed by Nazis. Like she was really depicting a lot of like horrors of and then of war and death and famine and things like that, that were there's a way that she articulates sadness and grief and heartache and rebellion that is 1000% my visual language, you know. I'm also a big fan of Craig Thompson. His ink work is really amazing. I wouldn't say like I mean, I think the question was like, who are your like creative ancestors? Definitely not like my creative ancestors are a white man. But like it's not a white man. But his visual language with ink is Most definitely in the realm of the way that I understand, like the way that I like to communicate through black and white and ink work. Because I definitely my home is ink on paper. Like I painted murals for years, I can paint. But it took me a long time to like learn to paint. But like drawing in ink on paper has always been like my first love. And I think it'll be my last love. You know, I really like I fantasize about just like disappearing and just inking a graphic novel one day, you know, just
Ooh, okay. I'm gonna hold you to that. I'm gonna hold you to that fantasy.
Yeah. I
So
mean,
tell me
that's
more about the ink on paper thing. It's like you said it's your first love. Is it a thing that when you first started getting into yourself as an artist, you know, that's sort of the medium that you explored? Or what about that is so connected to, I guess, your artistic language of self?
you know what? Let me read you something. Okay, there's two things in here. The first page says, tracing the shadows of time, inking the bones left behind. When I die, no one will remember my debts, only my deposits, a lifetime of receipts of ink on paper. But this page is like really just explains my relationship with ink. When I approach ink and paper, I'm asking myself definitively, what do I know to be true? If I don't know, I don't touch, but also sometimes there is a surrender that offers a pathway towards knowing. And so I don't know what I know until it's made clear by doing. There is an irrevocable poetry that is made in these markings, a permanence that is tattooed in both directions. Both on the surface of the paper and in the bones of the hand itself, I can actually feel the vibration of the friction on the tip of a nib as it scratches itself forward, delicately holding the black liquid in suspense under her open belly in defiance of gravity. Only with intentional pressure can we exact precision here. Too much, and it will spill.
Wow. Okay, see, so make it okay. Now I'm frustrated. Sexually frustrated at your writing. How am I sexually frustrated at your writing? I never make sense. But I feel like that really kind of speaks to A, the question specifically I just asked you. So in your Piscean way, it's almost like you channeled the question that I knew I was going to ask you and
Yeah, like a
whatever,
year ago, because I wrote
like a year ago.
that down.
Right.
Yeah.
And also does make me
Which
excited.
happens a lot in my sketchbooks. I will say that I've been pretty sure in my sketchbooks that like time travel forward, I open up to a page, I'm like, oh, this is for this moment. Like, okay. All the time.
Right.
It happens all the time.
But I think that's the definite that's the magic of artistry, right? Because I feel that
Also the magic
sometimes you
of Pisces. We some timeless motherfuckers.
well, no, definitely, definitely, definitely. But also too, like I feel that I've had similar experiences with my writing. Like even I've been doing all this stuff on Sun Ra lately, right? That's in my current book. And I just was like, yo, I'm not gonna even do research. I'm just gonna write. You know what I mean? Because sometimes when you research and you overthink and overanalyze, it does sort of disconnect you from what's trying to come through, you know? And there's, you know, definitely a lot of times where I'm like, oh, wow, like I wrote this thing before I even knew that it existed and stuff like that. So just kind of speaking to that Piscean energy, you know, obviously, like I said, it does, you don't need to have those placements to participate and things energetically. And I do think it is around like, okay, how do I sort of not be so held in whatever the world is telling me it is, that I don't actually let a thing flow and move and be through me and let it answer questions through time and space and make understandings through time and space. But anyways, I definitely really, really want some sort of ink and paper zine from you. That's A, seeing all of your magical, you know, sketches and writings. And allowing you to be in such a intimate, you know, grounded, you know, part of your art practice. So that's where my frustration comes from. So I have some other questions, and then, you know, maybe we'll do like one or two more questions. Pisces is all about water and big feelings and deep connections and expansiveness and channeling. What does it feel like for you to be in your creative flow?
It's a little chaotic, actually. I think the best way I could describe it is like you're trying to pour a ridiculous amount of liquid through a very small funnel and into a narrow neck jar. And there's just, you're just losing material left and right, you know? You're probably spilling over more material is falling onto the floor or into the sink, never to be seen again, than you will actually have left in the container. Like, and I think, yeah, the funnel is the body, right? And the liquid is like all the energy that you feel and like the inspiration you feel and even your intentions. And ideas, and you're trying to get it into this bottle that you can capture it and like show it to somebody or give it to the world. And all you can think about is how much liquid you lost in the process. Like you just you'll never be able to find a vessel that can contain it. So you just, I don't know. I feel it feels like, I don't know. Maybe this is like what I've been trying to work out in therapy. Like, where does this like not enoughness come from? You know, like, yeah. I mean, some of it is like, you know, white supremacy, patriarchy, bullshit, and some of it is just like the limitations of the body and the limitations of a lifetime and the limitations of your ability, the limitations of your even your craft, your talent, or your skill. The limitation of your access, the limitation of time, the limitation of how you have to spread your time out with you know, and share it with other things, the maintenance of life. That's the biggest frustration for me. I don't think anything makes me more furious than administrative labor in my life. Like just every time I have to send an email or fucking something, you open up mail or pay a bill. You know what I mean? Just like the ridiculousness. Because it's all like time lost, you know. It feels chaotic. The creative process feels chaotic. It feels more like a clawing at something than like I don't know. Maybe this is something I need to work out than a relaxation into something. At times that there have been, it depends on what I'm working on too. Like if I'm trying to get out a big thing, it can be chaotic. I definitely found a lot of like I reclaimed a lot of peaceful art making practice with the index cards that I was doing for a while, and I lost those index cards. I have to like remake them somehow because I photographed them all, but I lost that whole deck of like three cards that were like my own personal hand-drawn tarot.
Oh my God.
Somebody swiped them from my studio, I think.
Swiper, stop swiping.
Yeah, it's kind of really sad, but it was something that I started doing because I was like doing a lot of work for a lot of folks, and I didn't feel like my creative process was mine anymore. So I needed to like reclaim it in like even the smallest. It was like, and I told myself if I can't make time to draw on an index card once a day, like with a cup of coffee, you know, like just draw my little feelings on a 3x5 and write a little line or two about how I feel about the moment. Then I have no business doing any creative work for anyone else. So I started doing that, and it was really generative. It was really and it resonated with a lot of people. I would post it on IG. People were really, really digging them. But yeah, I think it's a real hard balance for me, like the creative process in service to others and like also making time for my own process and my own well-being is the balance. Like I'm really, really trying to get back to my studio practice a couple of days a week, you know, to just work on my shit. Like it's not for a protest or not for a thing, but like, you know, I'm working on this heart transformation series that's like the heart breaks to expand, you know. And
Oh
I've
my
been working on
God. I
I'm in
remember you
China.
showing me some of those, and those are so like part of when I share this, like I definitely would love if you would share some of your visual artwork that the embodied astrology community, you know, could share alongside it, because I could talk about it all damn day till I'm blue in the face. And it's to behold your work and behold all of the, you know, dimensions of your work. You know, like, I love that you speak to like murals and all of the, you know, paint and color that comes with that, and then ink and paper, and also that you got to share, you know, your poetry and your just kind of journaling explorations. And I think speaking to this thing of doing big things that are kind of unfathomable in the context of activism work, and then doing these intimate practices of like, every day I need to sit down with myself and be with myself and my art and my coffee. And when we say art, we could, you know, sort of transition that word for spirit practice, spiritual practice, you know.
Right. And there is no real, like, for me, there's no differentiation. Is that the word I'm looking for? But, like, there's no divorcement of, like, in any, in no matter what I'm doing, there's no way that it's not my spiritual practice.
Which I think is noted to say, as much as that should be the case, right? Like, we live in a world where that is a distinction one needs to remind if that's what they're on. It's like, yeah, some people, I feel like a lot of times it's like, oh, you know, my art isn't trying to say anything. I mean, these are white males, obviously. You know, like, the fact that that would be such a thing that people would be proud of, or say that is the whole point of their art, is to not say something, to not feel something. Whereas, you know, I think coming from an global indigenous, you know, lens and practice, it's like, oh no, these were the people who were specifically doing spirit work, were the people who are nowadays called artists or therapists or, you know, whatever sort of ways that we've had to shape shift to live in this particular societal structure. But yeah, I adore you so much. I'm so grateful that you made space and time to talk with me. I feel always so inspired by you, both, you know, as a friend and just the conversations we have, and then being on social media and the ways that you also are able to, I guess catalog isn't the word, but document, that's the word. There's a certain way that I appreciate your documentation, because I just feel like I could imagine how, like, and I know your work is so absorbing, but the fact that you still are able to, on whatever level, to document what's happening is really, I think.
God, does it look like I'm documenting stuff? Because I'm so horrible at, like, document. Like, I haven't posted in so long. Like, I feel like, and I definitely haven't been posting majority of the things that have been happening in my studio, because it's like sensitive stuff.
Yeah, no, totally, totally.
But, like, so, like, I feel like, like I haven't been doing enough on the channels, like, to let people know, like, what I've been up to.
Yeah. And of course you do so much. Like, if you were to document all that you did, I'm sure you would be like, all right, now I'm my own documentation assistant, you know,
like,
but
I need one.
Hello? So y'all hear that? Anybody want to help out a real one? But yeah, I feel like for me, just to not be in Brooklyn and to feel on the pulse of some of the things that you're holding from the creative and activist standpoint, and it, you know, and I'm sure you could document it more and whatnot, but to me, I feel like, oh, it gives me like, oh, like there's something in me. It's like, yes, there's someone who doing the work hard, making the space deep. And doing it on a spiritual level, and you know, all of that. So yes, thank you, Boo. Is there any last things you want to say, or you feel good?
I am gonna launch a Patreon for the studio.
Okay.
Like this week. So I'm launching it. Having a birthday party at the studio on the Polo Pisces party on Saturday. If you got an invitation, come.
If you wait, don't pull up, please.
But I will, but you can, I will by the 18th, by my birthday, I will definitely, or by Saturday, actually, I will have a link to the Patreon on my website. So you could see more stuff that's going on in the studio, what my studio is about, what Medicine Walls is about, and medicinewalls.nyc. And then you can follow at medicine_walls on IG or MS Clarity 83 on IG as well. That's my personal channel.
I'm glad. I'm very happy that you're creating a Patreon for the work you do because you do so much work. You do so much work.
Yeah, I'm ready for sustainers. Like,
Yeah, sustain me, baby. Sustain on me.
because
And
life legit, like I've been holding this space together through like straight up Piscean miracles and prayer and miraculousness.
yeah.
But it's been working as long as the creator sees fit, and all of our ancestors are squatting up to like hold that space for us, because that's definitely them. That's I don't think that's all me. It's definitely all of us and our people holding down that space for, BIPOC creatives in New York, where it's like really super gentrified, like unaffordable space to have the kind of space that I have over there. So yeah, always looking for
Yes.
supporters and donors, et cetera, et cetera.
And
Put a call at.
you need it, you need it. I mean, that's a whole other level about being an artist in New York that, you know, is a whole other conversation. But I'm glad, like I said, that you started this Patreon and that you're actually giving opportunities for your work to be resourced and thus sustainable and also give you the spaciousness to also continue to be in your own personal practice. So I will get all of that information from you to share on the show. And yeah, you're cute, you're brilliant, we're excited for the work. You're so passionate, freedom fighter. And yeah, that Pisces energy, get into it. Dive
I
in.
love you so much.
I love you so much.